The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
The baptism of the Lord, the fact that the Lord was baptized, it presents some interesting questions for us to examine. And these questions have there's some possible incomplete and some very and obviously wrong answers to the question. But first, let's look at the baptism that John was administering there at the Jordan River that so many people were going out to receive. And it was not exactly like a Christian baptism because it wasn't a sacrament. All sacraments come from the cross. So before the cross, nothing could actually be a sacrament as we know it. But perhaps the sign value of John's baptism or the baptism he was administering was very similar. It was one of conversion. It was one of rebirth and renewal. Right? The idea was that you would come and confess your sins, undergo the cleansing waters, and sort of be purified of those past sins, and then in that conversion, sort of rededicate the rest of your life. So you'd be sort of rise from the waters into a new life, and the rest of that life would be more dedicated to God. So it's this sign of deeper conversion. Now, anybody who's taken Tom Parks' class or Catholic high school theology class will tell you that sacraments are efficacious signs. So the sacrament of baptism, it too is a sign of washing away sin and dying to the old life and rising to a new life. But our baptism actually causes those things to happen. So the waters of the Jordan River, they may be symbolically powerful, but the waters of the Jordan River didn't have the ability to take away sins and give eternal life, the waters of baptism do. That's just a little point of clarification. But it still raises the question, why would Jesus ask to be baptized? And the question is, it was on the mind of John the Baptist as well, not in Luke's version of the gospel, but in other versions of the gospel. John actually kind of takes issue with Jesus' request to be baptized. That you want me to baptize you? I should be being baptized by you. And Jesus says, for now, let it be that it may fulfill all righteousness. So a clearly wrong understanding of why Jesus undergoes baptism, and hopefully it's clear why it's wrong, is Jesus is not there to repent of his sins and to have them forgiven and start over again. Jesus is the sinless one, so that's not a possible answer. Also, I think an answer that would be it would come up short and be unsatisfying, but I have heard it often, is that he does it as an example for us because he wants us to be baptized, so he gets baptized himself. That's just kind of an unsatisfactory answer. But we also start to get some hints that that's not exactly the fullness of what's going on. We think about, for instance, how there are times in the gospel where Jesus uses the word baptism in reference to his death. He talks about the baptism I have to undergo. He asks his disciples, can you be baptized with the baptism with which I must be baptized? And he's talking about his death. So to just say that Jesus is doing an exemplary action and giving us an example of being baptized is not quite sufficient. So what does the church believe is happening when Jesus submits himself to baptism for the fulfillment of all righteousness? Well, Of course, in becoming man, which is what we've really been celebrating the last couple of weeks, the incarnation, Jesus becomes one of us. The second word of the Trinity takes a human nature to himself. But then in coming to this place of conversion, this place where people set their old lives behind them and set out on a new road of deeper fidelity and obedience to the Lord and to his commandments, what Jesus is doing is he is taking on the sins of humanity, and he's placing himself in the place of the sinner. We could say that that Jesus, who already has become one of us, now is identifying with us, specifically as fallen, broken, sinful humanity. And that's really, really significant, because he is going to take his sins upon himself and onto the cross. And there, and by undergoing the waters of death, so to speak, on the cross, that's where he's going to bring about the real purification, the real washing away of sins. Which is why our baptism, the one that we received and that we give to our children, it's not a participation in Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. That's not what it is. When we are baptized as Christians, we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. Now, all this goes to say, or at least I'm going through it to say, that his baptism in the Jordan is the place where he identifies with us as sinners. And there is a sense in which the conversion that we are called to, he does model, because this is where he enters into his public life. And by entering into the place of sinners and entering into this action, which actually foreshadows his death and burial in the tomb and then ultimately rising, he is fulfilling his Father's will. He's being submissive and obedient, and he will fulfill his Father's will, and he will be submissive and obedient all the way into the cross. Of course, what happens after he rises up out of the water is a beautiful foreshadowing of what happens when he rises from the grave, right? The heavens open up. The way to heaven is open through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And those of us who allow ourselves to be identified with him through the sacrament of baptism, that way lies open for us. And possibly even more beautiful is when Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens open, the voice of the Father is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now, it is an unthinkably beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, for us to know that truly we can confidently say that for those of us who have allowed ourselves to be taken up into Christ in the sacrament of baptism, we've allowed him to identify us with himself. Those words, we're adopted sons and daughters, so those words can be spoken to us. We can hear it and be confident that the Lord says this to me, that the Lord says this to you. "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I'm well pleased." And where that leaves us is, while his baptism is the place where he identifies with us, our baptism is the place where he allows, or he identifies us with him, takes us up into himself, gives us a share in his life. But for us to live out that baptism does require conversion. It requires that we take on his submission. It requires we take on his obedience. It requires we take on his fidelity to the will of the Father. And any saint will tell you, conversion is something that has to happen every day. We simply, if somebody asks you, "When did you have your conversion?" and you name a date, I think you have an insufficient understanding of conversion. Because every single day, we're always sort of in danger of backsliding. Every day, we have to stop and turn more back towards the Father, turn more into the life of Christ. And so the thought came to me this morning. There are little things that we do as Catholics. And, when you really think about all the things that we do that nobody else does, the Catholic things, our life is actually very rich with sacramental imagery. And one of the things we do thousands and thousands and thousands of times in our lives, probably multiple times a day, is we make the sign of the cross. And when we make the sign of the cross, it's a reminder that we are conformed, that we are configured to Christ by our baptism. Making the sign of the cross, in fact, is a reminder of our baptism when we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's even more so when we use the sacramental of holy water. Right? But we do this every time we pray, every time we say grace before meals, when we pray with our kids before bed. We sign ourselves with the cross. Now, this could be a gesture that we simply do out of habit because we've been doing it since we were little kids and it's instinctive. Or it can be an occasion, 3, 5, 10, 15, however many times a day you do it. It can be a little occasion for you to take a half a second to remind yourself, yeah, I belong to Christ. He's identified himself with me. He's entered into my brokenness. And he's also united me to himself. And he's given me a share in his own life. And in him, I'm a beloved son of the Father. And right now, I want to remind myself of that and redirect myself so that I can live up to the dignity that's been given to me in being able to be called the son of the Father.